Hey everyone, my name is Darren, part of the leadership team here at Good Shepherd Mission. Really warm welcome to all of you. Great to see some guests and some family, some visitors. We're into the summer holiday months, aren't we? How are we doing? End of term, kind of tired, feeling, who here is like ready for a nap? Just a Sunday nap. I mean, I am tired. Who could use a rest? Yes. All right, let me bring us in. There were a bunch of us that helped the Prince family move house yesterday. And man, I laid down at the end of the day and I had to peel myself up from the bed. It was like I was so exhausted. My body was sore. I'm still sore this morning. Anybody else feeling that? Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's me that's out of shape. But here we are. We're at the end of another school year. How did we get here already? How is it almost the end of July? I don't know. And if you didn't move house yesterday, you still know that life in London is a busy place, isn't it? I mean, we are a busy people. The chances are when you ask someone, how are you doing? You hear how busy they are. Isn't that true? So maybe we could use a little bit of a rest or a Sunday nap. But not during the talk, please. We are going to talk about rest today, God's kind of rest. And I think that's what makes me excited about looking at this together. We're starting a new series. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get into it. Father, we thank you that your word is alive and active. And so now we just submit ourselves to under the authority of your word, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us. Right to the places in us that need to hear you again. Would you speak by the power of your Spirit through your word today, in Jesus' name, amen. So we are beginning a new series called Word Alive. And really what's going to happen over the summer weeks is each preacher is going to pick a passage that they are excited about that speaks directly to them, a place where they've maybe found conviction or challenge or comfort, a place in Scripture that is personal to them, and we're going to talk through what that's meant for us, but also hopefully share it with you in a way that shows you what Scripture has to say about itself too. And so what I'm going to do today is just get us started in that and actually just get us right into a text that talks about Scripture and what it is and its power. And then next week I'll actually take us to a passage that is one of my personal favorites. So here is where we get the title for this series, Word Alive. It's from Hebrews 12. It's going to be up on the screen, but it's also on the Bibles if you want to look at them that are there behind you. If you want to pull out your Bible right behind you on your chair on page 1138, it's in Hebrews chapter 4, 1138, and also here on the screen. Let me read it for us. Hebrews 4, starting with verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And if that sounds familiar, that might actually link to, if you were here last week, Mike talked about the armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, 17 said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And if that sounds like, oh yeah, Mike was talking about that last week. He taught us, and here it is, the Roman sword, double-edged sword. Mike talked about learning to use Scripture in our battles against temptation, against accusations that come to us, lies from the enemy of our souls, how to use our sword to tackle those things. And Mike spoke last week about how using the sword of the Spirit takes time. It takes practice, like fencing. So today's text says it's not just sharp like a sword, and it's not a dead sword. It's a sword that's alive. It has energy. It's active. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at this text in Hebrews 12. But I'm also, as we do this, I'm going to talk through how I tend to come to text, how I look at texts, and just show you sort of how I do it. Because here's the thing, I don't want to just hear the word of God, I don't want to just read it, I want it to change me from the inside. When I read it, I want to be changed by it, and I want to let it change me. But don't just take that from me, that's just not my thought, that's actually from the text itself here that we look at. So I want to show you how I get there. So the first thing I do when I come to a passage of scripture is I read it. And you don't just have to be a reader to get scripture into. You could be someone who listens to it as well. So I'll read it here just in a little bit more context. So the first couple verses, the verse around it and the verse after it of 11 and 12. We'll have this up on the slide too. So listen and pay attention to the language that happens around this verse in 11 and 12 and 13. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So at first I read it, and then I start to look at the context around it. So we just looked at those other verses before and after, but I think we should look at the whole chapter just to get a sense of what is it that God is saying to us in this word. We can't just look at verse 12. We should really take it in the whole context. And so here's what I want to do. This side of the room over here, your side A, and you've got one word to listen for as we read through this text, and that's the word rest. Okay? And I'm actually curious how many times we'll hear rest compared to how many times we'll hear this whole other set of words. It's not just one, but several words. Promise, proclaimed, spoken, word or words, and the word voice. So rest on one hand and all of those other words that are up on the screen behind us, okay? You don't have to stand up and scream, or I won't make you do that, but just listen for your side's words, all right? Here we go. I'm going to read through the whole chapter of chapter 4. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who believed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. We heard that in Psalm 95 this morning at the start of our service. That's what's quoted here. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world, for somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. And this he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For those who enter God's rest also rest from their own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. And again, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. I'm going to stop there. So that is the context. Did you hear it? Did you hear the word rest over and over and over again? And also the word of God. Rest and the word of God. So you get an idea of how these two things are connected, and then you start to get the big idea of what's happening in a passage like this. Where does it have power to kind of cut through to our hearts? So here's what I like to do as well, and I hope this isn't getting too tedious as it's repetitive, but this is a good way to listen to it in a new way and get the big idea. What are other versions of the same scripture say? Let's look at a couple just up here on the screen. You've got one in front of you, but this is the English Standard Version, ESV. Let us therefore strive to enter their rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of a disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So that's English Standard Version. And then sometimes it's really helpful to get it into more modern language. So here's the Message version of this, which kind of turns our ears again to what the main point is. I like how it's written here, verse 11 of the Message. So let's keep at it and eventually arrive at the place of rest, not drop out through some sort of disobedience. God means what he says, and what he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. So as I thought about this, and I thought about rest, and how does this relate to the word of God, I had this kind of image come to mind, this picture of a hammock. All right, let's look at this. Now, when's the last time you were all in a hammock? Not all of you together at once. That's kind of dangerous. But when were you personally alone in a hammock, or maybe with a friend? This is not me, by the way. There's something about it, isn't there? Just to rest in a hammock. And so the big idea of this whole text is, how do we get God's rest? You know, how do we get the fullest, abundant life, eternal life with God? Which, by the way, is not an easy life. It's not a life free of pain or struggle. But it is a life free from having to strive for meaning or purpose or fulfillment all by myself. And also, it's not a life of laziness or idleness. I know this image might show otherwise. But rest, the kind of God's rest, is really more about contentment in God. Now look at this picture. Is that not a picture of contentment? Some of you are worried you might fall into the water here, but it is just a picture of contentment. It's a picture-perfect image of contentment. And so this image is what came to mind when I thought about rest, and I thought, okay, I've got 2 points that are based on this image right here, and that is basically this. Listening to God's word is one part of where you hang your hammock. You ever tried to hang your hammock just on one thing? You got to hang it between two. All right, so listening, but not just listening, not just hearing God's word, but doing it, living it out. That's how you enter God's rest. You listen to it and you obey. You ever been in a hammock where one end of it goes wrong and you kind of end up falling either on your head or down towards your feet? That's no good either. You need both. And so the main idea here in the whole text that we're looking at in Hebrews 4 is you hear God's word and then you obey. You follow what it says. That's how you find rest. And so we heard it in Psalm 95. We see it in Hebrews. Don't let your hearts get hardened. Don't follow the examples of disobedience where God's people heard his voice but didn't respond and follow. So now you've got the big idea. You've got the idea that true contentment or rest comes from God, and it comes when we listen to his word and we obey it. So we need to get into the word, and we need to get the word into us. And then sometimes what I like to do, all right, so we've looked at the whole chapter. What I like to do when I get to texts like this is also ask, what are other people saying about this? Like, what do they have to say? Just some wisdom from experienced people who are looking at the text with me here, like our brothers and sisters. So today we're going to look at the words of who's a man who's sometimes known as the Prince of Preachers. It's not myself. Charles Spurgeon, who was alive more than a century ago. You can see his picture up here. You can kind of tell he was probably an early precursor to the hipsters that we have today, just by the virtue of his hipster beard. He was a man before his time. And I love the way that he comments on this particular verse. He says this, because you heard it, make every effort, right? Make every effort to rest. What? That's a contradiction. Spurgeon says this, let us labor not to labor. I like that. And then he goes on to say, our tendency is to try to do something in order to save ourselves. But we must beat that tendency down and look away from self to Christ. Labor to get away from your own labors. Labor to be clean rid of all self-reliance. Labor in your prayers never to depend on your prayers. Labor in your repentance never to rest upon your repentance. And labor in your faith not to trust your faith, but to trust alone in Jesus. I love that. So I would put it like this. This is from me, not from Spurgeon. Let's be energetic in our pursuit of contentment in God. Let's be active in it. Make every effort, knowing that we can truly rest in his word because it's alive and active. We can find rest in him because his word is alive and active. And then I take a look at a passage like this and I try to make connections. Just what are the connections? Let's look at the words just in verse 12. Where are the adjectives? Where are the verbs? That just sort of helps us. Sorry if that feels like more school, all right? I know school's out. Where are the adjectives? The word of God is what? Alive, it's active, and it's sharp. Do you see that? That word active or alive is like energetic. It's full of energy, and it's sharp like a sword. Let's look at this image of a surgeon's scalpel. It's able to cut right to the heart of things. That's that image. Don't beat people over the head with it. You know, it's not a club that you kind of nail somebody with. You let it do its work. What is the work of this sharp, double-edged sword that is the word? Well, what are the verbs here in this verse? It penetrates. It cuts right into things. It divides. What does that mean? Well, it discerns one thing from another. And then it gives us these really great pairs. It discerns soul and spirit, and then another pair, joints and marrow, parts of the body. So there's soul, spirit, and then body. And then also our thoughts and our attitudes of the heart. It discerns those things. And then what else does it do? It judges. You see that? It says, this is right and this isn't right. That's what the Word of God does. Right? So I've looked at all of that. I look at these words and kind of what the big idea is here. And I think, oh, to rest means to live in this place where I respond to God's word in obedience. I hear it and I try to live it out. And then I ask, this is what I ask when I look at text together. I say, God, what is it that you're saying here? Like, what is it? What is your message to your people? I think we see it right here. It says everything is included, every part of us, every part of who we are as people, body, spirit, thoughts, attitudes. It cuts right into the heart of things, and it opens us up to reveal, not to him. God sees everything already. It opens things up to reveal to us what's in us and to lay it out before God. See, God already sees and knows. That's what is in verse 13. Look at that. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Nothing's hidden. And there's another way of saying it, which is everything is uncovered and it's laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And then I say, when I look at something like this, not just what are you saying to us, your people, what are you saying right now to me? What change does this need to make to my thinking or my speaking or my doing? And for me, it says, stop striving. Stop trying to depend on myself, repent of my self-reliance, come out of hiding, and bring myself before God. Spurgeon has another thing to say about this whole idea that nothing is hidden. I think this is really helpful. Now, he is from another century, so forgive the gendered language here, but this is a great quote. It says, nothing is so difficult to get at as a man. Some of you women might be thinking, yeah, that is true. You may hunt a badger, Spurgeon says, you may hunt a badger and run down a fox, but you cannot get at a man. He has so many doublings and hiding places. Yet the word of God will dig him out and seize on him. When the Spirit of God works with the gospel, the man may dodge and twist, but the preaching goes to his heart and his conscience, and he's made to feel it and to yield to its force. When was the last time God's word got right to you? Like the scalpel of a surgeon. Cut through things and laid you open under the master physician's care. When was the last time? And maybe for you, you've never heard any of this. Maybe you're not yet a follower of Jesus and you think, that's actually never happened to me. But let me encourage you. Again, the word here speaks to us that even when we feel helpless in our sin, when we're tired of seeking our own way, trying to find meaningful fulfillment in our own activities, we need a remedy. We need a hammock that we can kind of rest into and just say, oh God, I rest on your grace because I'm tired of the slog of trying to make it work for myself. And that work is Jesus. The word is Jesus. We learned in John's gospel earlier in this year, Jesus has the words of life. Where else would we go? Revelation, the book of Revelation in the Bible, it's where John has a vision of Jesus, and he pictures Jesus in these vivid descriptions. And one verse of that just says this. This is Revelation 1:15. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. And then listen to this. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Jesus, the living word, came to give you rest. Rest from your weary striving to save yourself. Rest from making things right in your own efforts. And how did he do it? Friends, hear this if you haven't heard it before. He came to live the perfect life. And then he suffered and died a death to pay the price for our sins. And then by rising from death to life 3 days later, do you know what that means? That means that Jesus, the living word, is alive and active. And that we have life because he lives. Do you believe that? Do you know it to be true today? So when I think about what's the opposite of active and alive, it's dead and lifeless. So let me ask you this. How is the word currently in your life today? How is it active and alive in you? When was the last time you found scripture cutting to the heart of the matter in your own life? A conviction, a challenge, something that spoke to you in that moment where you found that word from scripture unsettling or inspiring or motivating or life-giving. The word of God is alive and active. And let me encourage you again, if you just do it, let me encourage you again, make scripture, make the Bible part of your summer reading. You know, pick it up before you grab your phone. Pick it up before you reach for a book at the beach. Pick it up and get it into you before you start your day looking at your bank statement or your agenda. Because it's a word that's alive and it's active. Let me tell you where this came true for me as a kid. I probably was only 9 or 10. I was away on probably my first kids camp ever, just for a few days with a bunch of kids. And one of the youth leaders took me aside and actually just had kind of a word of encouragement. Now, I don't know if this was a gentle kindness, but it's a pretty strong word to kind of lay on a 9 or 10-year-old. But I must have known that I was ready for it or seen that I needed the correction. And he just said, Darren, I think you need to, let me encourage you to be a person of more compassion. I want to see more of God's kindness in you. And then he gave me this verse. This is from Psalm 103. And I'll just read it to you. It's a short part of 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. I thank God regularly for his word that was alive and active in my life at that time to speak a word to a child to set me up for a life of seeking after God who's full of compassion and grace and who is slowly making me a more compassionate person. I don't think I've got it mastered. But his word is alive and active and cuts right through to those hard places in my own heart. So Good Shepherd Mission, I pray that for you this summer. I pray that you would know the comfort and the conviction and the correction of God's word alive and active in your lives. And this is what I also pray. not just that you would know it, but that you would hear it and live it out. And I'm also praying for us that that we would truly know God's rest, that we'd be able to kind of ease back into that hammock because we're hearing God's word, but we're also doing it, sort of tied to those two strong trees where we can find God's rest. Let me pray for us now. God, our souls are indeed restless until they find their rest in you. And you've given us something to ease into. This is your word. And Lord, we thank you that it's alive and active and able to cut through things in our own hearts and minds. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, to do that by your word in us today and this summer. Lord, I know you have assignments for us. You have curriculum for us that's laid out, just things that are on your agenda that we don't know about that will come alive through your word. So would you do that in us and through us together as your people? I pray that that would be a word that's alive and active as we make ourselves known on Weaver's Field on our community days. I pray that that would transform our marriages and our friendships and our workplace relationships. I pray that that would change us from the inside out because you are the good physician. So we love you and we trust you, and I pray that for us in Jesus' name. Amen.